The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Alan Kelly is with me now, a Labour TD and former leader of the party as well, to talk about somewhere that's not a million miles away from West Cork, the Midwest and UHL, the hospital that we often talk about and rarely in a positive context, Alan, on this show or elsewhere. Tell me a little bit about your own kind of family experience you've had with it in recent days.
I have a dad in there at the moment. He's in there 4 weeks. I was actually inside in the Dáil 4 weeks ago and I had to run out because my dad had been told he had to go into UHL after struggling for a bit with various things. And, you know, I had said in advance of going to Dublin that, Dad, this was potentially going to happen, and I had to try and convince him. The man was so upset. Then I had to be on the phone and my wife went to be with him. And, you know, you're literally trying to convince an 85-year-old man that he needs to go to hospital. I mean, it's just, and he's not alone. The reason I raised this, and I said it again yesterday, the reason I raised this is that, you know, there's a narrative in the Midwest, whatever you do, especially if you're over a certain age, try and avoid going into hospital. It's a dangerous narrative because people, in some cases, may make the wrong decision.
Mm.
And I have to say now, in fairness to all the care inside in the hospital, really good. The issue is getting through the system. Being honest with you, going through A&E is crazy, absolutely crazy. When my father went into hospital 4 weeks ago, the doctor rang me. I'm his next of kin. My mum isn't well either, by the way, so I'm next of kin for that. And he wanted to go through the history. That's fine, no problem at all. Kieran, at 23 minutes to 4, I got another phone call from further in the hospital asking me the exact same thing about my father. From that day to now, I've had 8, and they're all good people, no issue. Some of them really good. I've had 8 doctors where I've had to tell the same history. So what is going on? And this isn't unique to UHL, but like, is it not being transferred? Is it not in an internal system? Obviously, e-health is something I'm massively in favour of. I come from a technology background. But I mean, you'd worry about consistency of care when that is the scenario whereby you're literally having... I know... Not by design, by accident. I've learned so much in relation to infection markers, in relation to everything else about my father and mother because they've been in there so often. And like the last time he was in there, he went through and he was in the trolley for a number of days. And I always remember this chap from Effin in County Limerick came up and offered to swap he the bed and take my dad off a trolley because he's 85. And now they couldn't do it, wouldn't do it, whatever. But like, isn't it terrible that you're in that scenario?
Yeah.
And what I really want to get across is that really good people, management and obviously staff and everything, admin in UHL and fantastic people, Nina Ennis, Johns, all of that. We really should know about the narrative. And it's a dangerous narrative. And it's justified because Aoife Johnson and everything else is really justified. But I, as a public representative, also need to say that, you know, you have to use the services.
Yeah.
You need to improve the services, but you have to use the service. I also have to say that the community, and like, we all talk about hospitals, but for me, a massive issue is too many people are ending up in hospital, right? There's an MAU opened in Nina. It was open 8 to 8, sorry, medical assessment unit.
Yeah.
And that unit now is open till 12 o'clock. It's got very few referrals after 6, and it's getting almost none at the weekend and since it's been opened. Like, what is going on? It's a pleasure going into Nina. It's an absolute pleasure. Somebody recently called it Black Rock in North Tipperary.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic service and everything. But why aren't we utilising this more? And why aren't we, you know, why aren't the pathways working?
And what would have been the fear that your dad or his equivalent would have in the Midwest? Say somebody now, and they've the exact same reaction that your dad would have had. I don't want to go in there. What is it that they're worried about?
They believe the following. There's a number of reasons. Firstly, and there's about 4, I would classify them in 4 because I thought about this before I spoke and when I was coming over to you. One is getting through the emergency theatre or the emergency A&E. 2 is you're going to be stuck in the trolley for days and you're 80 something years of age or 70 or you don't even have to be that old. You could have others. So you'll be stuck in that. 3 is that you won't get the care as quickly as you should. And 4 is that you could pick up an infection or superbug. Like, lots of people claim, justifiably and unjustifiably, I'm not qualified to say that they picked up something while they're in hospital. And, you know, you have various different people saying, oh, whatever you do, try and avoid getting into hospital at all costs because of other issues that can entail inside. And my father's had multiple infections while he's in there. I'm not saying that's because of, you know, anything, but he's had multiple infections. And he's fighting another one as I speak to you. And I just spoke to my wife who was with him at the moment. They're the reasons why. Let me just say this. We have issues. However, some of the, like, cancer care in UHL is the best in Ireland.
Yeah.
Best in Ireland, without a shadow of a doubt. And unfortunately, it's dropping a small bit because there's a lack of resources. I raised it in the Dáil last month. I raised it today in the Dáil again with Stephen Donnelly. I believe it actually will be dealt with, and I'll be raising it tomorrow with the head of the HSE. But it's purely the fact that in the noughties, clinical decisions were made, the Handley report reconfiguration, all of that, and the investment never came true. And like those clinicians who made the decision to do reconfiguration have never been asked about. In fairness, politicians across all politics have been chastised and chased, and rightly so, in relation to the what's wrong in the Midwest. Mm. The clinicians who made the decision have never. I mean, the facts of the matter are those decisions compounded and kept being compounded. We went through a recession, we didn't have money. Like, and it's all built up to a population size in the Midwest where the actual services simply aren't fit for purpose, where they're too small.
Yeah.
And despite whatever, if God Almighty was in charge of it, I'm not sure they'd be able to solve it. We've just got to ensure. That's why I asked in the Dáil today. We need to know when the new 96-bed block is open, when the MAUs will open 24-hour, when the nursing homes that have been taken by the HSE and other units are going to be put back into the public face, and also when there's going to be more investment in the community. But the bottom line here is it doesn't matter, Kieran, if the government said they put zillions into community care and other areas, if they don't have the workers,
yeah,
you're never going to solve it.
Can I ask you about that, about the presentations at the hospital? So, you know, there was a lot of coverage about UHL in the wake of the report carried out by Frank Clark, the former Chief Justice, and Tifa Johnson. And Colm Henry was speaking. Colm Henry is somebody I've spoken of great, great time and respect for.
Me too.
But he said something. He said, they've seen an almost 30% increase since 2019 in the number of patients aged over 75 attending the ED in University Hospital Limerick. Now, that, on the face of it, you read that and you think, my God, that is one of the explanations for the upward pressure in terms of numbers. At the same time, and I say this with all due respect to you and other people from the Midwest, it's not Florida. People are not retiring and moving there. Well, these people are living there their whole lives.
I live between Ballina, Killaloe and Gary Kennedy, and that is the Florida of the Midwest.
Oh, well, okay, yeah.
I'm joking, but the
you know, look, I remember the same narrative around Beaumont. Dublin 9 is this aged population, but they did not move to Dublin 9.
The facts are is that population planning in this country has always been a disaster.
Yeah.
Demographic planning, like, for instance, we have a huge issue coming down the road where we are going demographically with the volume of old people. We have a huge issue coming down the road in relation to people with dementia, whether it's Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. And trust me when I say I know all about this in my own circumstance with my own family. So we don't plan for this. In relation to what was said by Colm, and I have good time for Colm, I think he's really one of the good guys in the, not that there's bad guys, but he's a good guy.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Really, we knew this was coming. We could see the trends. Sure, we do. That's what census are for. We know this is coming. The fact of the matter is this, is that the throughput through UHL as one centre for everybody in the Midwest is not fit for purpose. It's as plain as the nose on my face that we need another Model 3 hospital. We need another accident emergency ICU and related services, whether that's in Nenagh, whether it's in Ennis. We can debate all of that. But we need it. We need to change strategy. And I asked that in the Dáil again today. But ultimately, given all the scenarios that we see with various different reports and everything, what I really want to get across to people is this, is that the narrative out there about, you know, trying to avoid going into hospital, we should all try and look after ourselves to make sure we don't end up there. But in scenarios where elderly people are frightened about going into the local hospital,
yeah,
that is something we have to address. It's a narrative that's dangerous. It's a narrative that's worrying. And it can have counterproductive results.
The lack of staff as well, as you quite rightly point out, nothing can be solved without. And when we talk about beds, what we really mean are staff and the staff to man those beds. you worry whether we've left it too late to deal with that. I mean, we're at full employment. We don't have spare capacity in the labour force. We've got all these other areas
Why are healthcare lacking? Workers looking at going out and protesting at the moment? And are protesting at the moment? They're protesting because there's panels of workers who are not actually being picked for jobs. There are nurses immigrating to Australia, as we know, in plenty. There are ads going out from the HSE offering 4,500 or more, 4,710 actually, as a relocation package to some people who come in. Do you know what though? We need them all. We need foreign nurses, foreign doctors. We need all the Irish. We need them all. And we need a plan for the future to be able to do that. Because ultimately, I'll give you an example. I met with the INMO recently, and a nurse inside UHL told me how working in cancer care, and it's very specialised, and they're absolutely top class, brilliant. Mm. But scalp treatment of people, obviously, who need scalp treatment because of the cancer services that they're receiving, they can't perform it at the same level anymore because they just don't have the nurses. So workforce plan, I worry about children's hospital. I've gone through this for the last 5 years. The idea that they're going to have it staffed at the level required, I severely doubt. We knew 96-bed block inside in Limerick. I'm at the same level. Mm. I mean, the minister has said it'll be open in the last month of the quarter of next year. But the CEO of the HSE, Bernard Gloucester, said it'll be the middle of next year. That's fairly contradictory, I mean, we need it as soon as possible.
Yeah. But what the minister, I guess, if he was here, would say is that we've had, these are figures I've heard him repeat before, we've had a 23% increase in the staffing numbers in the health service since 2020. It includes nearly 10,000 nurses and midwives, 6,000 management and admin staff, 4,000 health and social welfare, social care professionals, and nearly 3,500 doctors and dentists, among other groups. So he would say, listen, we have done a body of work since we came into government. We've massively increased numbers.
And he said all that in the Dáil earlier on today, and I acknowledge some of them, right? I have no issue. I'm not playing politics with this. But the facts of the matter are our population's increasing. We also need to look at where those people are going. So if that's the case, and we have all of those, why are we missing out on cancer specialist nurses in UHL? Why have we not got enough people to perform community care for elderly people? Why are, in my constituency in Thurles, why are there a number of rehab beds and elderly care beds closed? Why? It's because the prioritisation and the focus in on the areas that really need the resources simply hasn't. I believe in regionalisation. I think it's the right thing to do. I think Bernard Gloucester implementing it is actually the right thing to do, and that the regional managers can focus in the resources. But at this moment in time, there is no doubt that across a whole network of hospitals, across community care, the resources as regards the amount of people is not there. And one last thing. You can have all the money in the world. I'm a huge believer in home care packages and basically getting home care hours for elderly people. Mm. For the listeners out there, this isn't just about the best for the elderly people to stay in their home as long. It's actually good for the taxpayer because they stay out of nursing homes, which cost more, and then they stay out paying the taxpayer paying 1,600 euros a night in an acute bed. But why can't we have more people working, helping people in their homes? And I'll tell you why. We can't. Because they're not being paid.
Yeah.
You bring in a registered employment agreement, have a set hour, a set rate that's index linked, travel expenses and other expenses.
Yeah.
And you will get people. Yeah, and it will save the taxpayer.
Yeah, but the budget for all of this increases kind of year on year, and yet the service doesn't improve. Now, we've got a growing population which eats into some of that kind of budget increase. But what it might suggest is that you just radically change things and you actually implement something like, a money follows the patient approach. And you really do
that. I heard that line before.
Yeah.
But here's what I would do in that scenario. I would bring in a registered employment agreement. I would pay him very well. I would pay him really well because I believe from a taxpayer's point of view, we keep people out in our